Church, what an incredible, incredible morning. Good morning to each and every one of you. Merry Christmas. For those that don't know yet, we are 9 days away from Christmas Eve, right? That's like, I have that many fingers plus one. Isn't that amazing? Like, wow, right? Are you ready? Are you prepared? No, it's okay. You have 9 days. This is your final warning, all right? If you are waiting till next Sunday, it's too late. Do not wait until it's 2 days away to be prepared for Christmas Eve. It is upon us. Church, this morning we are going to be reading a bunch of scripture. We're actually going to be starting where you can read along with me. It won't be on the screens, but we'll be starting in Matthew chapter 2. So if you want to get your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew chapter 2. We'll be starting right at the beginning. And then we're going to jump into a bunch of the Old Testament and all around today. Our focus this morning is on joy. And what a God that we serve. Isn't he so good today? I don't know if you saw Nicole and Jen like really getting into it, right? And like it was incredible. I got to watch as the worship team really rehearsed and as they went into the special that we had today of singing, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. I could see Bailey and Susanna were like kind of like, okay. And then all of a sudden it just hit everybody across the front. They were like, oh, this is kind of fun. They started just going for it, and I love that, because there is a real joy in this place. There is such a joy in this place because of who we serve. I wanted to start this morning off, we'll be doing this across all three of our campuses today, celebrating the generosity of this church. If you're joining us today, my name is Pastor Mitch, and I am the Kanata campus pastor, but we actually represent this morning three churches all across the city. So this one here in Kanata, we have a campus in Orleans and also a campus in Cornwall. And so one of the incredible things that we were able to do at Life Center is that we are extremely focused on what God is doing here in Kanata, but not solely. We truly believe that God is going to move in Kanata and across all of Ottawa. And especially when we say that, we're believing for God to move in Orleans and in Cornwall. And so let me just read for you today a couple of the stats that Pastor Gabe has sent along for all of our campuses to celebrate. Because of our generosity this year, we are sowing $155,000 into 15 different ministries and charities that are making a Jesus-sized difference in our city, in this nation, and around the world. Just this Christmas, Life Center has been able to bless 14 different local ministry partners. We've blessed over 206 children through Gift for Kids. We'll prepare 357 food baskets and hampers that will bless approximately 1,428 people here in our city this Christmas. Church, in 2024, we've donated £2.58 million of food and goods into the community. This Christmas, we celebrated shopping days at our Kanata campus and our Life Center and our Orleans food bank for 218 vulnerable parents and children who were able to come in and pick out gifts for one another for the holidays. This has enabled us to, again, make a huge Jesus-sized difference in this community. Across Life Center, we can see that God is continuing to grow our church. We celebrate over 2,600 people that attend Life Center each week, but really the most important piece is what each and every one of those numbers represent, because it's you. I was just speaking to somebody before our service today, and we were just commenting on the heart of this community. And one of the great pleasures of my life, one of the reasons that I have joy today, is because even when I don't remember who Joshua and Joseph are, and sometimes even throw Moses in there, it truly is a joy to be able to pastor this congregation, to know that it's not me that anybody is here for today, but it's Christ. It's to hear his word proclaimed, to have the Holy Spirit truly transform our lives, because we believe that God is doing something special in this city. And so we celebrate all of those things today, because it just exemplifies who we already know that our God is. He is great and mighty to be served. Church, let's pray this morning and just position ourselves in a posture of gratitude. God, we don't list these things out to champion our triumphs. God, we don't list these things out to stand in awe of the great things that we have done. God, we truly speak each and every one of these statistics to be humbled this morning at how great you are. God, some of these things that we've spoken today, God, in my own meagerness are unfathomable, God, that we would be able to come together as a congregation and just tangibly produce this amount of change in our city, in our nation, in the world. But God, what you are doing through each and every one of these touch points, God, Lord, we'll never fully know until we see you face to face. But God, this Christmas season, I pray more. God, I pray that you, through each and every person that attends any one of our Life Center campuses, God, I pray that you would do more. God, I pray that there would be more children, Lord Jesus, that would hear your name for the very first time, God, that would transform entire families because you reached out and you spoke to a five-year-old or a grade five, Lord, and completely captured their heart by your Holy Spirit, Lord. May it bring peace and joy and hope and love to each and every home here in the Ottawa area. God, I pray, Lord Jesus, for each and every person in the sound of my voice, whether in the building or online, God, that we would be reminded of who you are today, who that makes us. God, we are loved beyond measure. God, we are adopted sons and daughters, princes and princesses, because you are the one and only true King. And so, God, for all of these things that we have spoken today, Lord, we take zero piece of the credit. We take zero part of the applause. We take zero part of the celebration, Lord. Instead, we take every one of these crowns, God, and we lay it at your feet. Lord, let them not know us. Let them not know Life Center, God, but let them see you clearly. Through everything that goes out, a kind word, a generous donation, a prayer, Lord Jesus said in the quiet, God, I pray that they would know you, for you are our King. You are the lighthouse, God. You are the one whose love pierces every heart. And so, God, do something fresh this morning and do something in our city, God. We celebrate you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Isn't that amazing, though? Like, how great is our God? How great is our God to give us the opportunity to come together to see the church that was birthed in the book of Acts truly still to this day performing what it was that God has called us to be, to take what little or what great that God has given us, to place it together and to, for each and every one of us to be a part of something greater than ourselves. This is the church. To be a part of the kingdom of the Lord. Ah, it's so good. This morning, I want to read to you the Christmas story before we jump into what it truly means to be a people of joy. So let's open our Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 2. I'll start in verses 1 to 3, then skip down to verses 7 and 12, and then we're going to go over to Luke chapter 2 and finish our scripture reading there this morning. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Verse 7, then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening the treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Now to Luke chapter 2. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, For behold, I bring you great news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them and into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Let's pray again. My goodness, it's so good today. God, we just celebrate what it is that you have spoken, God, to the wise men, Lord Jesus, for the sign that you gave through that bright shining star. God, I thank you for what it is that you spoke to the shepherds, Lord Jesus, drawing all people to this incredible moment of your son's birth. Holy Spirit, today I pray that you would speak clearly to each and every one of us, unique in our own way, but God, singularly through your word. Lord, speak to each life today, God, that we would leave here with great joy in our hearts, understanding, God, that what it is that you did over 2,000 years ago still ripples through in eternity today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Last week, we were graced with Pastor Barry and Pastor Joyce being present with us. If you were unaware of who they are actually the founders of Life Center and still filled to just like the uttermost with passion for the Lord. And so I just honor Pastor Barry for coming and giving us such a powerful message on peace. He challenged us to remember that peace is in the heart. That peace is in the heart. And so today, we want to continue in our Advent season and speak on joy. The singular purpose and perspective for today is that the same God who is faithful in fulfilling his prophetic word considering us is the same God who is unchanging and deserving of our worship today. Church, when I think of joy, especially as a young person, I grew up thinking of like that, like laughter, that like, you know, that laughter when somebody starts and you just can't stop. You know what I'm talking about, right? Like you saw it in a little bit of Jin today as he was like doing the circle, right? It's like that laughter that it's just contagious. It's one person starts laughing and then you don't even know why you're laughing. And then all of a sudden you're laughing and then you lock eyes with that person and they start laughing again and you start laughing again. And after 15 minutes, you're like, what were we laughing about? And then that makes you laugh because you can't remember what you were laughing. Like, is that like incomprehensible? It's deeper than happiness. Right? Joy is deeper than happiness. Happiness is a feeling, but joy is something richer. Joy is something deeper. Joy is something that comes from the depth of our soul. In terms of our faith and walking with God, when I think of joy, I'm constantly brought back to this truth that joy is positional for those who follow Christ. Joy is positional for those who follow Christ. Church, this morning you may have come on the way here and all of a sudden you may have something on your dash that begins to bring. How many know that once your dash starts blinking in the vehicle, you do not have happiness? Right? Anybody else? Like, it's just I grip the steering wheel a little tighter, like, oh, vehicles, you can't live without them, but man, it's hard to live with them, right? And you just start to see it, and it's just like, tears you up inside. There's different circumstances that we will walk into where it is okay, and I'm going to just deliver this message as clear and concise as I possibly can today. Church, it is okay as a follower of God to not be happy all the time. This is an ongoing message as you attend here in Life Center, as we continue to do away with the fallacy that Christianity is meant to produce perfect people. One day, amen? When we see God face to face and he clothes us in his robe of righteousness and we are given a new body and there's no more pain and there's no more death, we are promised through this process of sanctification that when we see God, everything will change. But until that point, you and I are simply strugglers following after the only one who is truly perfect. And his name is Jesus. It's not Mitch. It's not Cassie. Although it would be more Cassie than Mitch, let's be honest, right? But this is the reality and something that we need to make sure as Christians that we live out. Because listen, there is an inexpressibleness when it comes to Christianity, but we cannot convey it as simply being happy all the time. There's something deeper that's taking place. The beautiful thing about Christianity, though, is that even though our happiness may be fleeting at times, our joy is everlasting. Even though our happiness may be fleeting at times, our joy is everlasting. And you can take this example and place it into any different area of your life, because some times where we step into different places, it's a lot more difficult than simply having the lights on our dash blinking. Amen? There are different examples that I could give today that maybe not all of us have walked into, but there are different things in life that are more difficult than your car lights blinking. That's just the reality of the situation. But the purpose of this example and the thought process and the understanding of joy is something that you can move into all these places. Church, I want to encourage you today that no matter what lights are blinking on your dash today, you are still beloved by God. I want to encourage you today that no matter what it is that the mechanic says is wrong and how much it's going to cost, you are still called dear and beloved to Jesus. You are. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are his chosen children. You are princes and princesses because God has chosen you. There is a joy that is permanent in your life because of Christ. And it's so good. And it's so good, and it's so important for us to remember this. It's so important for us to dig into this, that joy is positional, that we're able to look at these different circumstances and say, I know what it is that's going on, and I may not feel happy right now, but I know that I know that I know, and I trust in whom I believe, that God is never changing. And he is good to come through on his promises. See, Jesus was the promised Messiah. Jesus was the promised Savior. And our joy is positional because Jesus is who he says that he was. In his book, Peter W. Stoner, in his book, Science Speaks, he's a chairman of the departments of mathematics and astronomy at Pasadena City College and the science division at Westmount College. He calculated the mathematical probability of one person in the first century fulfilling just 8 of the messianic prophecies that were found in the Old Testament. And he found that the mathematical equation of one person fulfilling just 8 of these prophecies was 1 in the 10 to the 17. Or 1 in the 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, informed me, that's a big number. But what about 48 prophecies? Well, Peter W. Stoner calculated that that was 1 in the 10th to 157. Whew! Church, our joy is positional. You have statistically better odds of winning the Lotto 649's biggest lottery than Jesus did of fulfilling only 8 of those Old Testament prophecies, let alone 48, or let alone the hundreds that he fulfilled over his lifetime. If Ontario was covered in 2 feet deep identical coins and a random coin was placed at a place in Ontario, you would have a better chance on your own of scouring all of Ontario and finding that one coin than Jesus did of fulfilling all of the hundreds of biblical prophecies about him being the Messiah in the Old Testament. In the book of Isaiah alone, There are 102 prophecies that Jesus perfectly fulfills about the Messiah. Prophecies that include this: the preexistence of the Messiah, that the Messiah would be God incarnate, the Messiah would be the Son of God. Prophecies included the era, time, and date of his coming. They also include the seed, the race, the nation, tribe, and family. They were descriptive of his birth and childhood, that he would be a forerunner who would precede the Messiah, that he would have distinctive character-based attributes. While on earth, there were specific events that he alone would fulfill, specific miracles that he would perform. He would be a servant to God the Father. He would come to Israel, but be for all people. He would provide salvation. He would be betrayed, abandoned, despised, judged, rejected, suffer greatly, crucified, rise again, and be forever victorious. This is our Savior. In the book of Genesis, the Messiah was prophesied that he would crush the serpent's head. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. How many of you are so excited that we serve a victorious Savior? Heart conference? Crushing snakes? Anybody? Yeah. Right? Anyway, okay, that's just a little extra. All right. In Exodus, the Messiah is the lamb without blemish. In Numbers, the Messiah is lifted as a healing serpent on a pole. In Deuteronomy, the Messiah hanging on a tree takes the whole curse. In Ruth, the Messiah is our kinsman redeemer. We could continue with hundreds of prophecies in the Old Testament that Jesus fulfills. But why are we doing this, and how does it connect with joy? Well, there is an Old Testament prophet, who, when you think of joy, you'd actually think of him as the opposite. He's actually known as the weeping prophet. No fruit, only faithfulness. But it was Nehemiah who prophetically spoke, "Do not grieve, because the joy of the Lord is your strength." Hallelujah. So at Christmas, we not only see the birth of the baby Jesus Christ, but we see the miraculous fulfillment of hundreds of prophecies, the faithfulness of God to generations, the redemption of God to each and every one of us, the power of God to a lost and broken world, the detail of a God who sees, knows, cares, and loves each and every one of us. The long arc of redemption that is in Christ is in all of our stories. And the identical God who fulfilled every one of those prophecies is the unchanging God who will continue to this day to give humanity its ultimate gift. One day, no more tears, no more death, no more brokenness, no wounding or pain. As the great psalmist wrote in Psalms 84, chapter 1, "How lovely is your dwelling place." 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. "What no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human heart has conceived, God has prepared these things for those who love him." Romans 8, 28. "We know that all things work together for the good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose." Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 to 5. "God's dwelling is with humanity, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them. And will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Grief, crying, and pain will be no more, because the previous things have passed away." Then the one seated on the throne said, "Look, I am making everything new." Joy in Jesus is not the hope of maybe winning the lottery one day, or that those lights will miraculously just disappear. Joy is positional. And he has called us his own. Church, I want to encourage you today that there is no greater miracle than any of us will ever encounter than what it was that took place on the cross. Jesus being born and being birthed for each and every one of us, walking willingly to the cross, rising again on the third day, produces the opportunity for each and every one of us to watch as our family members, our friends, our coworkers, our neighbors, people all around the world willingly give their lives to God. To say, "God, not me, but you in everything that I do." This is where our joy comes from. This morning, I received a text that really exemplifies what it truly means to follow Jesus. This morning I pray for my uncle who last night was rushed to the hospital in Newfoundland, suffering from heart maladies that we're not really sure what that looks like yet. We'll find out more information today. And my uncle is the cornerstone of his family, the rock on which the other members of the family truly lean on. And for him to be removed, in this, if that be God's will, would be a real strike to that family unit. And as I read that text, God spoke into that moment today. He said, but I'm there. And so no matter what it is that takes place, whether my uncle makes a miraculous recovery and steps out of the hospital, we will rejoice. And if God takes him and takes him home, and leaves the family with a lot of questions and a lot of different circumstances that they'll have to walk through. Church, this morning I was reminded that we can still rejoice. Because no matter what it is that changes here, he never changes. And so I've got the joy down in my heart. You missed it. There was a where opportunity. Oh, come on. Down in my heart to stay. Why? Because Jesus died. He died so that we could truly live. And the only way to truly live is to allow your life to be connected to his son. Amen? This is where true living comes from. That no matter the arrows that the enemy would try to fire your way, that you can take the shield of faith that has been given to us by God and say, I know where my help comes from. I know who my family will trust in, right? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Maybe you're here this morning and you're praying that God would allow that testimony to be true. You have friends or family members that aren't serving the Lord yet, that we can proclaim that my joy comes from knowing that as much as I love them, my Savior loves them more. And so as much as I want them to know Jesus, I know that he wants them to know that he loves them more. How do I know this? Because he sent his son for each and every one of us. This is our Savior. One of the core things that makes Christianity different than every other world religion is that you cannot earn the joy that God wants to set in your soul. Come on. Our Savior, our God, looked down at his creation and said, they cannot make this right. I will go. And the word of the Lord teaches us that he came, humbled himself, was born to a virgin, the soon-to-be wife of a carpenter, and lived a life that was perfectly humble to the workings of the Father. And because of him, each and every one of us can lay our sins down at his feet and know that we are in right standing with the one who created it all. This is our story. This is the story of our God. And so why do we have joy today? Because joy is not a feeling. Joy is positional. To be able to open our eyes today, to be able to remind our hearts this morning that we are only one thing, saved and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That we are called brothers and sisters, sons and daughters, because he has called us his own. That we're saved, not because of anything that we did, but because our Savior willingly walked to the cross so that none of us would have to. Church, this morning, you can leave, maybe not even with a smile on your face, but with a deep depth understanding in your heart that God has you, and he will never let you go. Let's pray this morning. God, I thank you for the story that you called these wise men, and they came with their rich gifts. God, I thank you that you also called the shepherds, who came with nothing but a story of what it is that you had told them. And that was a deep, deep treasure that Mary held deep in her heart. And so this morning, Lord Jesus, God, we just remind each and every person that our cultural status is not of importance to you. But God, that you call each and every person in this room, online, in this city, to know who your son is. And so God, I pray today that we would be reminded that we can have joy because you are who you say that you are. We can have joy because you did rise again on the third day. We can have joy, God, because you have called us to be the church, to take what it is that you have given us, Lord Jesus, to place it all together and to watch as your hand moves mightily across this city in ways that we could barely even fathom. And yet, yes, you are. God, we can have joy today because you are worthy of praise. God, we can have joy today because we can look back over our years. We can look back over our days. We can look back over our lifetimes, Lord, and see you over and over and over again, calling us into deeper relationship with you. God, we can have joy today because all good things come from you. And anything that is any good in our lives is there because of you. And so, God, we give you this morning all of the praise and all of the worship, for you alone are worthy. God, thank you for being with us today, and may we go with hope, with peace, but a deep, unmovable joy. And we ask this today in your holy name. Amen. Amen. Amen.